Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Greetings and welcome everybody back to another amazing episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 15, our top 5 Star Wars sound effects. And this sound effect right here is Jason Hunt, and our other sound effect that you will hear in a second, we have Mr. Carl LeClaire.
Yeah, no, that was dumb. Hi, Jason. I was going to try and do, as soon as you said that, I was like, all right, what's something cool I can do? Like, what's a cool sound effect? And I'm like, I don't have anything. So here's my voice. That'll have to do.
Yeah, that was totally off the cuff. I was like, I should call a sound effect. I don't know if that was smart or not. But anyway.
It was very smart. It was very. They will talk about it in the annals of history.
Yes, these sound effects. Alrighty. Well,
so last week we're going to just jump right into things. Tonight our episode will probably be a bit shorter than our typical episode, and that's fine with us. We're just going to have some more fun like last week. I don't know about you, Jason, but I really enjoyed recording our last show, the toys and stuff. Gosh, that was fun.
Oh, I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Like I said, Jason, when I came back from New York this past week, I ended up having to take a bus back. So I was like, shoot, I can't bring back all the Star Wars stuff I wanted to bring back. But I still managed to shove into my duffel bag. Like, I barely was able to bring my clothes back to Boston with me because I had to make room for my Star Wars action figure bin. So, but they are now in Boston with me. So it's wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome.
So.
Yes.
We did something new last week. We, rather than doing a lightsaber matchup, we just decided to have what we're going to do on occasion now is what we just call our Star Wars matchup of the week. So it's a bit different than a lightsaber matchup, especially as we didn't use 2 Force users, which Joe Lord Bruticus was very, very insistent on pointing out, which you will hear a little bit later. We decided to have a little bit of fun and put Jango Fett up against his son, Bubba Fett. And we got a couple of responses, which, Jason, if you wouldn't mind reading those off, that'd be great.
Sure thing. All right, Brian Klein over on Facebook, a regular contributor to this segment, says, Jango, first of all, he was such a badass that he was chosen as the template of the Grand Army of the Republic clones. Secondly, even though Boba was an exact copy of Jango, Boba was too young when Jango was killed to have learned anything there was to know from his pops. Now, I'm sure Boba picked up a bunch of tricks and tactics along the way, and it would be a hell of a fight. I just see Jango coming out on top. Kyle Avery, who was on this show with our top favorite music moments, says, I'd say Jango, because he taught Boba everything he knows and racks up more on-screen kills in the movies. Jango 2, Boba 0, if I'm not mistaken. Still, it should be a really close fight as long as Boba can stay away from any blind guys with spears. Jazz Rathor, I believe that's how the last name is pronounced, he's our friend from Norway, he says, depends on when. Young Boba, of course, hasn't got by far the skills that Jango had. Yet Jango was killed when he was 44, while Boba was still going strong-ish in his 70s. So although he didn't learn anything his dad knew, he picked up a hell of a lot of mad tricks along the way. So I'd say Boba. I mean, he even took out the butcher of Montelian Serrat when he was an old man. You could run, but you'd only die if you tried. But you only die tired, excuse me. So far, we've got 2 for Jango, 1 for Boba. Over on Twitter, at Leon355 says, as much as I love Boba, he did get dispatched by a partially blind Han Solo. For that reason, I'm going to have to give this one to Jango. And then we got an email from Jesse Arellano. He says, Hi guys, wanted to share my opinion on the matchup you have going on between Jango versus Boba. This is a hands down. I don't even have to think about it. Boba Fett would win. Jango is a great bounty hunter, but I think Boba has a ton of cards up his sleeve. Boba is skillful and is 10 steps ahead of you, and he has this very, and he is very mysterious in the movies and in the books, and he's not afraid to tell anyone to get out of his way. He even was in the Sarlacc's stomach and still escaped. Boba has seen many battles, and he even trained his granddaughter. This dude is awesome, plain and simple. Take care, dudes. All right, so far we've got 3 for Jango, 2 for Boba, and I believe right now we're going to play a little something that Joe Lord Bruticus sent in for our listening pleasure.
Greetings! Hello, Jason and Carl. The Brutal One here, Lord Bruticus of Dark Empire Radio. I really enjoyed your last podcast episode about your favorite toys over the years, especially the mention at the end about the different costuming fan groups out there, and that Jason is aspiring to become a member of one. We like that he signed on to the Dark Empire forums, by the way. It was a very enjoyable episode. Until... Once again, you have no Sith in your hypothetical fight. No Sith. What's more, you're now pitting non-Force users against each other. Jango versus Boba. What's next? Han Solo and Greedo? I suppose you'd probably ask us all who we think would shoot first. But I digress. No Sith. I have dark-sidedly corrected this no Sith travesty by emailing you a recording of myself. After all, the Wampa's lair is a cave, and every cave has a shadowy part, and therefore a dark side. But I digress again. The Battle of the Fets, or Who Has the Most Toys? Let's see. Both own Slave One. Both have those malfunctioning rocket pack doohickeys. Both can shoot cables out of their wrists, but only Jango used his flamethrower in the movies. I'm not sure if Boba even had one. Maybe he did, but we never saw it. Oh, sure, someone out there will send me a technical specification of Boba's outfit and say, "See, he had one." Well, I never saw it. So I call it like this. Jango and Boba shoot at each other, and they run out of ammo. Both launch cables at each other and tie each other up. Both Jango and Boba manage to cut their way out of their cabled entanglements, but while Boba is frantically trying to figure out which one of his knee darts or other fangled contraption to launch at his daddy, Jango cuts loose with the flamethrower and fries poor Boba crispier than a bantha steak barbecued on a Mustafarian lava bank on a Sunday afternoon. Experienced bounty hunter dad 1, fricasseed clone son... 0. Until next time, the Brutal One out.
So Joe, obviously, is quite the dramatic fella, as we all know.
Of course.
I love when Lord Bruticus gives us his insight. And what a wonderful voice. What a great recording radio voice. So it's nice to have a nice little audio input there. But... I want to point out to you, Lord Bruticus, that Boba Fett's flamethrower is quite obvious on his armaments, on his right arm. So, yes, as you said, you were sure somebody would pick it out. So before anybody else gets to you, I'll be the first to let you know. Just take a little closer look. Just because he doesn't use it doesn't mean it's not there. Love, Carl. But thank you, Joe, again. It was great.
And, indeed.
And he says something about you. He's going to try to get you to join up with them, Jason, if you're not careful.
Yeah. I'm already sort of planning it. I am on their forums.
Ooh.
And I'm in the process of getting my costume started. So it'll be a gray Jedi. So for those of you that don't know much about that, check out the Dark Empire. They can hook you up with all that sort of information. Back to our duel.
Real quick, not to stay off topic here.
Sure.
Jason, is Dark Empire, are they only Sith, though?
They are Sith, Dark Jedi, and Grey Jedi.
Okay, what's Grey Jedi? I'm not familiar with that term.
Grey Jedi is technically sort of a rogue Jedi, someone who doesn't exactly follow the rules. Qui-Gon, for example.
Sure. And that's what you're looking to do?
Yes, that's the character I've got. So,
oh, very cool.
Custom character. That's the other thing that they do. They do both canon characters and custom characters.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling your character would have a strong affinity for Mr. Kit Fisto.
Well, in the backstory I'm writing for my character, yes. Yes, they are good friends.
Oh,
so.
Good. I would expect nothing less, Jason.
All right, awesome.
Yes.
Well, back to our duel. With Joe's inputs, we have 4 for Django, 2 for Boba. This means we're not having a unanimous duel so far, but it remains to be seen what the final tally will be. Carl, what is your input on the situation?
Ooh, when I came up with this one for the last show, I was really excited. But the funny thing is I knew as soon as I picked it, who I knew would win. And I'm going to have to make it 4-3. I'm going to say Boba Fett. And the reason I'm going to say Boba Fett would win is, Jango's a great bounty hunter. He's very good. And yes, he's the father figure. But like some of the listeners have pointed out, Boba Fett's around a lot longer, almost twice as long as his father. And he's a bounty hunter all the way up through his 70s. Still very, very effective. And again, he survives the Sarlacc pit. You know, like, yes, Jango Fett doesn't get taken out like a punk like, Bubba does in Return of the Jedi. But, you know, Jango goes down to Mace Windu, which, you know, it's quite the feat, you know. You know, losing to Mace Windu doesn't mean he's a bad bounty hunter. But at the same time, I think Bubba Fett's, because of his years and his experiences, and I also think his coldness. You know, Jango, it's implied that Jango has a bit of a soft spot for his son. You know, especially if you read the novel, you get a little bit more backstory on, you know, how Jango special orders his son. And, you know, he has a soft spot for him. Whereas Boba Fett, it doesn't become clear that Boba Fett has any type of an emotional attachment to anyone until very late into the, I think, the Fate of the Jedi series or Legacy of the Force, one of those two later series. With his granddaughter, you know, you do see him have some emotion towards her. But I think Boba Fett is just much colder than Jango, which gives him the edge. So I'm going to say Boba Fett is going to be the victor, in my opinion.
And it all comes down to
the... down to the hunt.
How ironic. But I'm going to have to go in favor of Jango. And these are my two reasons. I guess 3. First of all, yes, we know Boba goes on to do great things, even into his 70s. But what's to say, since he is the clone of Jango, what's to say that Jango wouldn't have done the same thing? Number 2, Jango seems to be a little more focused when he's in battle, seeing as how Boba got taken out by a spear flailing Han Solo. 3, even though Jango may have a soft spot for Boba, especially if he was, you know, in a galaxy where he has a bunch of his own clones running around, I would think he would have some sort of defense up his sleeve specifically geared for his clones. And whether or not he expects Boba to be the one that comes after him, probably not. But since I think he would have that, he would have it ready in case Boba did. So I'm going to say Jango wins by a slim margin, by the hair off of his helmet. So,
well, good.
So that brings us 5-3, Jango over Boba. So
good. I like it when they're like this. I like when there's differing opinions.
I do too.
A little bit more exciting.
I agree. But before we move on, speaking of Boba, we did ask Jesse last week to clarify which Boba Fett figure was his favorite. And he sent an email to us giving us a list of his top 5 favorite toys, which are all great. But his the Boba Fett that he selected was the Power of the Force, because it was just so exciting to get it, because his brother bought one, and then he stopped by a local comic shop and bought another one for himself. So Boba Fett from the Power of the Force 95, 96. So, awesome. Awesome figure. I think, did you say you had that one?
Yep. Yeah, that was one that I mentioned during the last show. Yeah, it was the first Power of the Force action figure I bought. I love it. So,
seems to be popular.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I don't have that Boba Fett.
Oh, Jason.
I have another one, though, but not that one.
Good. Yeah, there's so many good ones that have come out. As long as you have one.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I have one.
Oh, good.
I also have the young Boba, too. I got that off my brother.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anywho.
We have a topic.
We do.
And we did sort of go a little nuts with it in the intro, calling ourselves sound effects. But it is our top five sound effects. And I have two honorable mentions. And did you say you had one or two?
I have one.
One. Okay. Yeah. I'll go ahead and start then.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my second honorable mention is just... this is kind of weird, but it's just the hissing doors. The hissing doors in Star Wars. All the doors like hiss or have some sort of a neat sound when they open and close. And I just think it'd be really cool if, you know, you could get that hooked up to your house and just have this door go, you know, to your bedroom or something, you know, just sliding up and down, whooshing and hissing and stuff like that. I think that would be awesome.
That's a good idea. I like that.
So, you know, not anything really spectacular, but it's always there and I like it. So there's one of my honorable mentions.
Very cool. Yeah, jeepers. I never even thought of that. That is a really cool thing. A lot of times still when I go into the grocery store, I move my hand to make it look like I'm using the Force.
I always do that.
Yeah.
it's sort of habit now. Sometimes I do it without thinking. I'm just like, whoop. Oh, everybody's watching. Never mind.
All right. My honorable mention is the TIE Fighter. I just love the scream sound of the TIE Fighter. I think it's really, really cool. Not quite on my top five, only because it can almost get a little annoying if it's too long. But I love that sound, and I would make it with my mouth, but I probably can't. So I'm not going to try. But that's my honorable mention is the sound of the TIE Fighter. I mean, it's a really cool sounding ship, and I mean it's iconic. You hear that sound, you know it's a TIE Fighter.
Oh yeah, no, that's a very good one. It didn't make my list, but it's a very good one.
Yeah,
it's a very good one. And my other honorable mention is Darth Vader's breathing. This is another iconic sound effect, you know. Wow, it's really sort of a pathetic version of that. it's so iconic, and the only reason it's not higher is because I'm a little weird with my sound effect choices. So, but Jesse Ariano also says that is his favorite sound effect in Star Wars, is Vader's breathing. Classic, and it's awesome because all Ben Burtt had to do was stick a microphone inside of a scuba tank and breathe. That was it. So if you ever want to replicate Darth Vader's breathing, buy a microphone and a scuba tank.
Or just buy a Darth Vader like breath modulator at a toy store.
That would probably be cheaper.
Exactly. Yeah, no, Ben Burtt does some fantastic stuff with those films. Yeah, and you know what? Since you mentioned it, I'll make it, because it's not on my list. So, yeah, but that has to be an honorable mention for me as well, is Vader's breathing. You know, when I read those things, I was like, oh, yeah, how did I not mention that? But I was like, you know what? I got to go with what my gut picked out first, and Vader's breathing is definitely worth a mention from me, if not more people, because it is. It's probably the most iconic sound of Star Wars. Whenever you hear that type of breathing, I mean, and it's been replicated in movies for jokes and all that. I mean, everybody knows that is Darth Vader. That is the sound of evil.
Yes.
And it's kind of a cool sound if you think about it, too. I mean, you know, it's not like a normal breath. Darth Vader is human, yet not. Like, there's something different about him, which is, I think it's very cool. It's a sinister sound. It matches his character very perfectly. And then when you find, you know, if you look back into why does he breathe like this? Well, it's because he was almost killed. And, you know, like this is his weird breathing is a result of his poor decision making in life. So.
Right. And it's It's really neat because none of the other helmeted characters really you ever hear them breathing. But Darth Vader gets this deep, menacing sounding breathing that accompanies him, and it just sort of sets the tempo and tone for whatever it is that he's doing. And he just has to be standing there breathing, and you're already like shaking in your boots, you know. It just has that awesome effect on people. So it definitely is worth a mention, even if it's not in my top five.
Absolutely, I agree.
Oh. All right. Shall we kick it off into our top five?
Yes, we do. All Jason, right. why don't you kick it off?
All right. Well, my number five is just it's sort of a general thing with a specific focus. So it's like the general is blasters. I love the blaster sounds, and the specific blaster that at the moment right now is my favorite. Is Jango's blaster. I just love the sound that those make. It just sounds so cool. It just sort of pings and rings a little bit as he fires off. But I love the blaster sounds because, you know, everybody goes outside as a kid, you know, pew, 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 you know, making the blaster sounds. But I love them. They're just awesome. I wish guns would sound like that, you know?
They'd be a lot quieter.
That's true. But a whole lot more awesome.
Yes. That's awesome. Yeah, actually, well, my number five is also, I like how you said, you know, just general blasters. I guess I'll agree with that, too. But my specific blaster, which is my number five pick, is Han Solo's blaster.
I was debating between Jango and Han's.
Yeah.
As far as my favorite one.
Yeah, I Jango's, that's an awesome pick. He does have, they sound really cool, and the fact that he shoots them so quickly. You know, they almost sound like an automatic weapon because he's got the two of them always going.
Right.
But, yeah, Han's blaster, it has, like, you know, it's the Blastech DL-44. I'll always remember that. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to feel so stupid, but I'm almost positive that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure you're correct.
Yeah. So if I'm wrong, you can correct me, and I will be sorely disappointed in my life. But I'm pretty sure that I'm right. And, you know, it's just such a – it's a heavy gun. And I loved reading the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin. Have you ever read that, Jason?
No, I never got my hands on it. Okay. I always at the library I went to, there was always like the second or third one, but I never got around to finding the first one, and I always wanted to read them in order. So.
Sure, yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, my aunt gave me all of them as a trilogy in a hardcover book a few years ago, and I took it with me on a summer trip and read it in like a week, all three of them. Sometime I would love to do an episode on our favorite EU novels, but this is definitely at the top. It's really good, but you get a lot of background about Han Solo's blaster and how he actually saws off part of the scope in the barrel in order to allow it to be a faster drawn blaster and whatnot. It's really cool, but the sound of it too, again, it's got like a deep sound to it. I mean, it sounds like a powerful weapon. So
it's almost sort of a 1-2 punch sound.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I love the sound of that. And again, I love Han Solo, so you got to mention the sound of his blaster. So that's my number five.
Very nice, very nice. My number four is a creature sound, and this is the Tauntaun. You know, I can't do a very good one, but that's my impression of
that's
Tauntaun.
Pretty darn good.
But it's fitting, seeing how we're in the Wampa's lair. You know, they're always running around out back. But it's just one of the most unique sounding creatures in Star Wars. And I love it. It's just like, it's funny and cool at the same time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything about it because it may or may not be coming up on mine. And obviously, by not saying anything about it, obviously it's coming up. But I will save my comments for later.
The only question is, where is it on your list?
Exactly.
All right. What is your number four, Mr. LeClaire?
My number four is Sebulba's Podracer.
That's a good one.
Oh, I love the sound of Sebulba's Podracer. It sounds so cool. I mean, it sounds like, you know, like a really strong muscle car engine, and I think that's what they used. I don't know that much background on sound effects. This is not a particular area of Star Wars I'm well versed in. I mean, I know very few of how they, you know, created these sounds, But I almost recall reading something that Sebulba's Pod Racer is the sound. I mean, it's just like a souped-up car engine. But just it sounds so cool. I mean, it's a menacing-sounding Pod Racer, yet it's cool. You know, it's kind of like the biker gangs, like, when they come flying by on their loud Harleys. Like, you're like, wow, that's so cool. Like, what tough guys. But it kind of scares the hell out of you, too. I feel like that's what Sebulba's Pod Racer is, especially the one scene in episode one when he's gaining on Anakin, you know, before Anakin's little piece of his Pod Racer flies off, and it's like right behind him just going, dugga, 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 dugga. You know, it's, that's not what it sounds like exactly, but, it just sounds so cool. I mean, it just, yeah, that's a great one in my opinion.
Right. Right. I think if I'm not mistaken, and I might be. But I think I heard somewhere that his pod may have been a mix of like a racing boat and a car or something like that.
Okay.
I know they used a lot of like the muscle cars and race car sounds for mixing them in with the other pods. Specifically Anakin's, I know, definitely sounds like a car. But I may be mistaken, but I think they said that it's like a racing boat. Which makes a bigger sound, was used for Sebulba's. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But either way, it sounds awesome, so.
Right. Right. You know, I mean, I don't own a car anymore because I can't afford one / don't need one in Boston, but they have this new thing out in Boston. It's basically like a bike rental system. You can, like, pick up bikes throughout the city, use them for as long as you need. You know, you pay by the hour and you take them back. It'd be cool if these bikes would sound like Sebulba's Pod Racer, because I'd be running them all the time. But they don't, so I don't. So yeah, Jason, what's your number three?
My number three, this is one of my favorite sound effects because of a lack of sound. And it is, I think...
I know what it is. I can guess.
My favorite sound from the prequel trilogy, mm-hmm. and it is the seismic charges that Jango uses in the asteroid field. It's just... they explode. There's nothing. Dead sound. It's just sort of... and then it just rents open everything and just... you know, that awesome noise. It just takes out hundreds of asteroids in a single sweep. And we get to hear it twice in the film. And so it's just that much more awesome. So I love that sound. And Jazz from Norway wrote in and said that is one of his favorite sounds as well. I loved it because it took in all sound. There was no dialogue, no sound effects, no music. And then it just sort of, for like a split second, and then it just unleashes all the sound that it was holding in, you know, incredible. So,
yeah, that's an awesome one. I almost use that as an honorable mention. I don't know why I didn't, but yeah, I love that sound as well. It's so cool. And what I like about it, like you said, it's almost like the silence adds so much to it. You know, it kind of explodes, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's just this bow. And I remember, you know, that sound in the movie theater is so cool. I mean, I'm sure if, you know, some of our listeners have, like, sweet surround sound systems in their home, they can get the full effect of that even at home. Now, I don't. I really want to get a surround sound system. That's my next expense venture. But right now all I have is obviously the speakers on my TV, and it still sounds really cool. But I remember in the theater how it just, like, it, like, echoed. It, like, reverberated off of both walls. Like, you know, it was so well done. So, I mean, that's going to be awesome when it comes out in 3D next year.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. That and the arena battle are the big things I'm looking forward to seeing that in 3D next year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily wanting to see them in 3D. It's just I love those scenes. I love those sounds. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
What is your number three?
My number three is the sound of the carbonite freezing chamber. I noticed Kyle also mentioned this as well. Kyle Avery mentioned this on our wall. And it's kind of a series of different sounds. But the one sound that I always thought was so cool, there's two, and I don't know if one of these sounds actually has anything to do with the freezing chamber itself or if it's just background noise, but I'm pretty sure it is part of the freezing chamber. If you watch, my favorite part of the sound is the initial sound of the the basically like the big hook that goes down to reach, you know, into the pit to pull up the carbonite slab. It like goes hyena. I'm not very good at doing sound effects, so please forgive me. I'm trying. But the sound as the hook is lowered into the pit sounds really cool. And then as it's coming up, it almost sounds like birds are chirping. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Sort of a higher pitch, like sort of whistling as it's like raising it back up. And it's just, you know,
It's like, are there birds in the carbonite chamber that come out? It's like, hello, doves. This guy's frozen. I mean, I always thought it was so odd, but I loved it. I just loved the sounds of the carbonite chamber. I mean, the one of the hook as it's being lifted, and also too, like just all the steam exhaust, it gives such an ominous sound to that setting. I think everything about the carbonite chamber to me is very cool. I love, you know, the oranges and the blacks. I mean, it's kind of like a sketchy part of the city to be in, and the sounds just add to that mystery. And they're all so mechanical, too. I mean, it's just, they sound like heavy-duty machinery.
Right.
So I, you know, that's something that's really stands out to me. And I think part of the reason it stands out is because, again, this is one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well. But again, that hook sound and the birds chirping as the carbonite is brought up, you know, it's glorious. You know, I wonder if that's the sound that it made when Jesus came out of the tomb on Easter, if like birds were chirping like the carbonite chamber.
Awesome.
That would be pretty funny. So
yes, that's where the sound originated.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Burtt went back in time and recorded that sound.
Oh goodness.
You mentioned Kyle Avery, and he sent in some of his favorite sounds. So I'll go ahead and read what he wrote in. He says, some of my favorites are Vader's breathing, Anakin and Sebulba's pod racer engines, speeder bikes, Wookiee roars, carbon freezing chamber, Y-wing engines, and X-wing laser cannons. There are a lot of great ones, but my all-time favorite sound effect is the lightsaber, hands down. So Kyle listed quite a few things in there, one of which I will be mentioning later. Yes. Not saying which.
Now, I want to mention one thing from Kyle's, and this has obviously, it's a bit different from the topic, but if I could pick my least favorite sound effect from Star Wars, it's Wookiees. I can't stand the Wookiee roar incessantly. Like, it's so annoying to me. Like, I don't mind it, because I think it's used well. I think it matches, like, the sound of a Wookiee perfectly matches that creature. But when it's at long amounts, it gets really annoying. I think the only point in the film where it actually bugs me is when Han's being frozen in carbonite and Chewie's going nuts. And again, it's understandable. He should be going nuts. But it's just like, oh my god, he's so loud. And the funny thing is that never bothered me until I was dating a girl in college and she had never seen Star Wars. So one weekend, I made her sit down to watch the original three with me. And she did like them, but she hated the sound of Chewbacca. She's like, I hate that character. He's so annoying. And ever since then, I think she just like kind of planted the seed. So what a butthead she is. But anyway.
No. I love Chewbacca. Chewbacca sounds awesome. There, you know, countering that.
Yeah. It's the perfect sound for him, but it's certainly not one of my favorites.
How did you manage with the scenes of Kashyyyk in Revenge of the Sith?
They're very short scenes. So again, like in moderation, I enjoy it. It's just when it gets really to be excessive that it gets to me a little bit annoying. And again, like I said, the carbonite chamber is the only scene where I legitimately find it annoying. But other than that, it doesn't bother me.
Gotcha. So,
right. But I did like how you mentioned the speeder bikes too. That's not on my list, but those are really cool as well.
Indeed.
Oh, Jason, and I was thinking of you again. This is from last show. You know, we were both talking about our speeder bikes and how, you know, we love the exploding action. I was so excited when I brought up my bin of action figures. I didn't realize I kept my speeder bike in there. So
awesome.
I've been exploding that all over the place.
the scout trooper's hand still hold
on?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's hardcore.
Oh, yes. Whenever we would shoot this scout trooper off, the handles would come off the body of the speeder before he let go.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Number
other time.
Yes. You're number two.
Number two. My number two is, I guess you could call it the quote-unquote voice of a character. It's awesome because there's so much personality in nothing but beeps and whistles. And that is R2-D2. I love R2-D2, one of my favorite overall characters in Star Wars. And so anything to do with R2, I absolutely love. So I love the fact that they were able to make him more of an action hero in the prequels with all of his gadgets and being able to fly around. But ever since seeing A New Hope in theaters for the first time, I always loved how R2 sounded. It's just so much personality and nothing but beeps and whistles. And it's terrific. I went home and scooted around the house like R2-D2, beeping and booping and whistling. probably drove my mom nuts, but I did it. So it was awesome.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. I didn't think of that. Because, to some degree that is his voice, but it is a sound effect. And it is so cool how they can convey such, emotion on that character just through nothing but beeps and whistles. You know, the cutest one to me has always been when he's, like, kind of sad. And, when he asks in A New Hope, he says, he basically asks 3PO if he thinks Luke likes him. He goes, "No, I don't think he likes you at all. Do you?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." And he's like, "No, I don't like you either.
I don't like you either."
It's so cute.
I love it. Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah, that's a...
R2's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something about characters sometime. We haven't done anything like that yet, but I know you do love R2-D2, so...
All right, what's your number two?
My number two...
Before I go on an R2 nerdgasm over here.
My number two will be the Tauntaun. Before we started tonight, I asked Jason, what kind of things he included, and I told him I didn't use any sounds of creatures because I didn't know if I could technically consider those sound effects, and Jason gave me the okay. So I think we know who wears the pants in this podcast. So Jason gave me the okay, and I was extremely delighted. And not only did he give me the okay, he gave me his Tauntaun sound, which was really good. So I was like, yes, that's my number two. I love the sound of the Tauntaun. And since we are frozen here, I mean, we see Tauntaun ribs everywhere. I hear they're pretty good, if you slow bake them. But
I can't reach them, though.
I know. I guess I don't trust enough in the Force. I can't call one over.
I tried once and I missed and hit myself in the head, knocked myself out,
Yeah, and then I had nobody to talk to for like 3 hours. Thanks. the sound of the Tauntaun is so cool. I mean, the Tauntaun is such an awesome creature. And I know over at the Sarlacc Pit, they actually just did an episode on some of their favorite creatures a few episodes ago. So if you haven't checked that one out, check out the Sarlacc Pit's episode on that. It was really good. The sound of the Tauntaun is awesome. And the reason it actually stands out to me is I remember when I went to the Star Wars in Concert show 2 years ago. It came out here to Boston, and I went and I got there really early so I could look around the exhibits and stuff that they had put up. But when you were sitting in the arena before the show started, they actually had Star Wars sounds of the Star Wars galaxy playing over the PA system. So, occasionally you would hear Tauntauns, and then all of a sudden you'd hear sounds from Endor and then Dagobah. And it was, all the sounds of the movie without the music or characters. So you felt like... I literally closed my eyes at one point, and I felt like I was part of the Star Wars galaxy. And, the sound of the Tauntaun, running around and, doing it... Jason, can you do the sound again? Yeah, that's really good. That sound is just so cool. I mean, if... when we were kids, we always used to say, "Oh, if I could ride a dinosaur, that'd be awesome." Screw that! If I could ride a Tauntaun, that'd be awesome. And when he dies, you get a sleeping bag. So, have you seen those Tauntaun sleeping bags, Jason?
I have. If I had enough money, I would buy one.
They're so awesome. I'm thinking about getting those for my cousin and his fiance for their wedding gift because they both love Star Wars. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And the inside of them looks like the Wampa gut, the Tauntaun guts.
Yeah.
So,
It's so funny.
Even more awesome.
Yeah, I hope they don't smell like the Wampa guts. Or, excuse me, the Tauntaun guts. That'd be gross.
Yeah, that would be disgusting. Now, with a realistic smell action. Yeah.
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Okay.
Oh, good. So
we shouldn't. Yeah, we shouldn't be PR for people making that. That would be bad.
Right. So down to our number one, Jason. I have a feeling we might have the same number one.
I have a sneaking suspicion that is the case as well.
Unless yours is the sound of the Naboo starfighter, who knows with you, Jason?
I considered making that an honorable mention, but it didn't make it.
Chris is going to be so disappointed.
It was just off my honorable mention, Chris. Just barely off. I wish I had the foresight to bring it over here, but I didn't. My favorite sound is the lightsaber. Thank you, Carl. You rescued me. I was hoping you would. Yes, the lightsaber. Awesomest sound in the world. Hands down. I love the sound of the lightsaber. Just the sound it makes, the hisses on, and then the humming. It's just so cool and deadly sounding. Not to mention the fact that it glows and it can cut through just about anything. I love it.
Yeah,
I love the sound of the lightsaber.
Yep, that's my number one as well. I'm sure it's a lot of people's number one. You know, when you think of sounds of Star Wars, I think, you know, the probably the biggest things that hop out at you, Darth Vader's breathing and the lightsaber. But the lightsaber is so iconic. And I've never met somebody who doesn't like the sound of a lightsaber, even if they're not like a big Star Wars fan. You know, if they've watched Star Wars, they're like, I love the sound of a lightsaber. It's such a cool sounding weapon. And it like is. You said, you know, the ignition of it, the up, the down, and the humming, the crashing sound when you're dueling with it. I mean, it's just such an iconic sound. It's awesome, you know. And whenever I was a kid, you know, and I'm sure you did the same thing, Jason, when you didn't actually have the plastic lightsabers, like, you know, your wiffle ball bats or whatever, my sticks and stuff, you know, we always created the sound.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, yeah.
You know, squeaky.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just such an awesome. I know. I always remember one of the funniest things from the making of Episode One when they were interviewing Liam Neeson. He said, you know, when they were, you know, training to do the duel at the end, you know, when they were all started initially, like he and Ewan McGregor were making the sounds like the zoom zoom. And he's like, yeah, you know, the directors and stuff kept saying to us, yeah, you guys need to stop that. We put that in later, you know. But you know, you can't help it when you have a long stick-like object, and you're a Star Wars fan, all you can think of is psh, zoom, 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 zoom. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, you can't not love it. It's just amazing.
It is. It really is. And we have Ben Birch to thank for all of that. Ben
Indeed.
Birch is awesome. Thank you very much, Ben, for creating a galaxy of sounds that we can all just love.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we were going to have Ben Bird on tonight as a guest, but he forgot to text me back, so it's okay.
I probably had some sort of convention that came up.
Yeah, he's a busy fella.
Very busy.
But again, yeah, I mean, there's all these different sounds from Star Wars, and I'm fairly certain many of our listeners have lots of different sounds that they like that we didn't even mention tonight. But again, it speaks volumes about Star Wars, the fact that we can find sound effects, just certain sounds from these films that stand out to us, you know, I mean, and if you think about it, pretty much every sound we mentioned tonight, you know, these are all sounds created by human beings in our real world, yet there's something otherworldly about them. The sounds themselves help us to escape to something, you know, in a galaxy far, far away. You know, that's so unique. They're real sounds, yet they're sounds unique to our everyday world. So they help draw us out, just like Star Wars is intended to do.
Exactly.
So there you go. There's our top five sound effects from Star Wars. This might very well be officially the shortest episode we've done.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. It was a fun episode. It was a short one.
Yes, we always have fun, Jason.
Exactly. I don't think I've never not had fun on this podcast.
Well, good. That makes me feel bad if you were like, yeah, Carl, you know, this one kind of stunk. I didn't have fun.
Yeah, no, there was that one time. But... no, actually, I had fun there. No, I'm just kidding.
But before we go, we, of course, have another lightsaber matchup. These are Force users, Lord Bruticus. You will be happy. Yes. And I have a feeling he'll like our characters that we picked for this week. But Jason, why don't you tell us who we're pitting for our next show?
Yes. Well, Lord Bruticus, you will be very happy to know that we are pitting Darth Maul versus Galen Merrick / Starkiller / Darth Vader Secret Apprentice / whatever other name you want to give him from the Force Unleashed games / books / comics. but yes, so two Force users, Darth Maul versus Starkiller. Give us your thoughts. Tell us who you think would be victorious, and we will read them on the podcast next episode.
Yes, indeed. And before we go, one last thing. We're starting this week as well, and I did get the okay from Chris Hothai's planet over at the Sarlacc Pit. I did kind of steal this idea. We wanted to do something towards the end of our episode, and I wanted to start playing some of the audiobooks from the Star Wars universe, but I'm not sure how that would work with copywriting and this, that, and the other thing. I don't want us getting sued because I don't have money. And also, you know, who wants to be sued? So what we're going to do is we're going to start playing the Star Wars radio dramas, which were recorded back in the mid to late 80s. Episodes 4 and 5, both A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, actually have many of the characters from the film doing the voices. Like, you have Mark Hamill in episodes 4 and 5 doing it, and you have Billy Dee Williams, you have Anthony Daniels, but even the rest of the cast are pretty good. So what we're going to start doing at the end of tonight's episode is we're going to start playing these radio dramas one episode at a time in order. And again, this is something the Sarlacc Pit has been doing for a while now. They're already up through Empire Strikes Back. They're into Return of the Jedi now. So we figure if you're not getting them from them, or if you need to hear them from the beginning again and you're not sure how to do that, well, you can now find those at the end of the Wampa's Lair as well. So we will be starting that tonight.
Indeed. So. Indeed. Awesome stuff. And some of the scenes in the radio dramas, there's some extra scenes, and some of the other scenes are expanded somewhat, and they're really good. Mm. So give it a listen, and give us your feedback on them, too.
Yeah, they're awesome, I think. You know, especially so tonight's episode, it's essentially the first episode from A New Hope. None of this stuff is in the movie. So it's very, very interesting. It's really good. You get a lot of backstory, which is really cool. So, but we'll be starting that tonight. You know, give us your feedback on, you know, your thoughts on that. Certainly give us your feedback on our latest lightsaber matchup. If you want to let us some of your favorite sounds, again, you can email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. You can certainly find us on Facebook at Wampa's Lair Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Wampa's Lair. Did I get those right?
Yes, you did. And don't forget, you can also check us out on StarWarsReport.com. They're always putting out great stuff. I was actually on one of their latest episodes, not their most recent one, but the one before that. So we had a lot of fun there. They actually interviewed me at the end of the episode. Opened the Rancor trapdoor out from underneath me with a few questions. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Star Wars Report is a great site. We love being hosted by them. They do a lot for us. And, you know, Bethany and Riley are awesome interviewers. I always love when they have a guest on their show because they ask the coolest questions. So be sure to, you know, check out Jason on Star Wars Report. So anyway, so that about wraps it up for us, Jason.
Well, thank you, everybody, once again, for listening to Episode 15 of the Wampa's Lair Podcast, Top 5 Sound Effects. Stay tuned after this for the radio drama of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And we will, for Carl, I am Jason. We will see you next time in the Wampa's Lair.
Star Wars, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 1, A Wind to Shake the Stars. long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. But most of the citizens of that vast empire of a million star systems took little notice of this tremendous conflict, at least at first. On the desert planet Tatooine, as on countless other worlds, life goes on while great events are shaping the future of a galaxy. Here, amid the endless sands and the dune seas, the hostile wastes and barren lands, human beings struggle and endure. And here, too, men and women laugh and cry, hope and dream.
So don't just dream about applying for the Academy. Make it come true. You can find a career in space. Exploration, Starfleet, or merchant service. Choose from navigation, engineering, space medicine, contact liaison, and more. If you have the right stuff to take on the universe and standardized examination scores that meet requirements, dispatch your application to
Screening Office, Care of the Commandant, Imperial Space Academy, your sector, and join the ranks of the proud.
Dum, 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 dum. Oh, I love it.
Skywalker!
What?
Hey, Luke! Skywalker!
Oh, I'm out here in the tech dome, Windy.
Hey, Skywalker, come on! Everyone's over at the power station. We're going out to Beggar's Canyon. My hopper's acting up. Something's wrong with her thrust bias, so I'm gonna ride with you.
Sure. How'd you get here?
My folks came over in the land speeder to see your uncle and aunt, and I hitched a ride.
Oh.
What are you acting so guilty about?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
Uh-huh. Come on, let's see that tape, Skywalker.
Hey, will you come on?
Cut it out, Windy. Aha! Applicants information packet. Imperial Space Academy.
Will you stop?
You're still seeing Novas, huh, Luke? Looks like this tape's been played a few thousand times.
Give it back!
The great Luke Skywalker, hero of the universe. When are you gonna grow up, Luke? You're a farm boy, just like me.
Hand it over, Windy, or I'll take it.
Oh, okay, here. Take it. What are you getting so touchy about? Come on, get your skyhopper going. I'll roll back the dome.
Why'd your folks come over, anyway?
To talk about the moisture harvest, complain about crop prices. Who cares? I guess it's a mercy visit, you know?
Yeah. Aunt Beru's always eager for company. Even Uncle Owen is. But he'd never admit it. Well, get in, Windy. Time's wasting. I don't expect to have another whole free day till the moisture harvest is in.
She sounds smooth, Luke.
Yeah, I worked on her all day yesterday.
Well, listen, if you're planning on doing any racing, you can count me out, Skywalker. Tatooine is no academy, and you're no star pilot.
Not yet, anyway. Well, I adjusted the thrust sequence for extra boost. You better hang on to your seat.
What?
Skywalker's here.
So what? Don't bother me with small fry. Where's the juice? I'm thirsty.
Here, catch one.
Hey, everybody.
Where's the party?
Wherever I am, Luke. Right, Cammy?
Correct, lover.
Hey, boys. Guess what Skywalker was doing?
Hey.
Sitting in the tech dome playing an academy recruitment tape.
Not.
You never change, Skywalker. Is that all you want out of life? To parade around in a fancy uniform?
So what do you want that's so much better, Fixer?
Yeah, you watch it, boy. Just because you got lucky on a couple of crummy tests, that doesn't make you some kind of junior space explorer.
I never said I was any
You know what I did back when they made me take those exams?
What?
I walked in, filled out my name, and walked out again. I showed him.
Yeah, just because he can answer fancy trick questions and do school book flight maneuvers, he thinks it makes him better than us.
Yeah, Luke. Mm-hmm. So you happen to qualify. So what? What do you think you are, Biggs or something?
Yeah, he just wants to go to the Academy because Biggs did. He always was his hero.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the Academy. Why shouldn't I?
Because it's for suckers, Skywalker. They want to stick you into a uniform and give you orders. At least here at the power station, I'm my own boss.
Anyway, my father says the Empire's just recruiting more people into the academies so they can draft them into the Starfleet.
Do you think anybody out there cares about Luke Skywalker?
Well, if you leave home, nobody knows you.
Hey, where is the juice?
Here it is. Yeah.
So, what's on the program for today, Fixer?
Speed runs, Skywalker. Speed runs.
Oh?
Gonna see how much time I can shave off the back stretch.
There's no way you can cut much more time off your lap, Fix. Hmm? You're almost matching Biggs' best time around Beggar's Canyon as it is.
Yeah, well, Biggs isn't here, and I am. I'm as good as he ever was.
Oh, yeah, well, then why don't you thread the stone needle like Biggs did?
Luke.
That ought to take 5 seconds or better off your time.
And Biggs is the only one who ever flew through it at racing speed. Is that what you're saying?
I was just saying that if you want to improve your score,
You're crazy, Luke. Why don't you guys go buzz the Womp Rats and take a few pot shots at him? The speedrun stuff is going to get somebody killed.
Hey, what's the matter, Cammy? You don't think I can do it?
No.
Listen, anything the great Biggs Darklighter could do, I can do.
I never said you couldn't fix it.
Yeah, nobody was knocking you, Fixer.
Besides, I don't need any shortcuts. Hey. You want to try and keep up with me?
Oh, Fixer.
Huh?
What, me?
What are you scared, Wormy?
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
you're on.
Crazy.
Ooh, boy, Wormy against the Fixer. That's going to be a slaughter.
Well, then you can ride with Fixer, Deke. What are we waiting for, boys? Let's go.
Yep. Fixer. Come back here, Fixer. I want this to stop right now.
Good luck, Skywalker. See you in the tight spot.
Hey, I couldn't find those macro binoculars anywhere.
Never mind, Windy. Buckle up. Hey, what are you doing? Standing in for Biggs. Brace yourself.
Here we go. One run down the back stretch, Skywalker, whenever you're ready.
Hey, wait a minute. You and Fixer in the bottleneck together? Count me out.
We'll jump.
Fall in even wait. With me, Skywalker, and we'll let her rip.
Yeah.
Okay, hit it!
Oh. Look out!
Will you shut up and keep... Oh, no, you distracted me, Windy. Now Fixer's got the lead.
Let him keep it. I want to live.
How does my after blast feel, Luke?
Too narrow to get past him.
Whatever you do, don't go for altitude. Don't go for altitude. The crosswinds will smash us right into the canyon wall.
Just make yourself comfortable back there, far boy.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Hey, you idiot! You took the wrong turn! You're headed for the stone needle!
Yeah, I bet we shaved 5 seconds off our time.
You're gonna kill us both!
There's no going back now. Stay gripped, Windy!
We made it! Windy, open your eyes! We made it!
I'm alive. I don't believe it.
Hey! Your stabilizer's gone.
Oh, I can hold her. We've still got to cross that finish line.
You'll crash us.
Here we go. I told you I could bring her in. Hey, Windy, we won. We won.
Won?
Luke, you're crazy.
Crazy. I'm riding home with one of the others. You're just an accident looking for a place to happen.
Oh, Biggs. You should have been here.
Luke? Luke, are you up yet? Breakfast is ready.
Good morning, Aunt Peru.
Good morning, dear. I'm afraid your uncle's in a big hurry today. He says things are still behind schedule. Come on now, eat your breakfast before it gets cold.
Okay. But I don't think the desert's going anywhere.
No, it'll still be there, Luke. If we don't get things ready for the season in time, that's all it'll be, a desert. I want some hard work today.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye peeled when you're out. There are reports of sand people. I want you to see what you can do with the units up on the South Ridge. I expect them all to be running 100% and smooth before the day's end.
But, Uncle Owen, those evaporators are 10 years old. They should have been replaced a long time ago.
Yeah, you can get them functioning up to specs if you roll up your sleeves and quit your daydreaming. Look, I need a farmhand who'll pitch in, not a nephew with his head in the stars half the time. You pull your weight today or there'll be trouble.
Owen! Come on, finish what's left before it gets cold, both of you. Luke, dear, I put your lunch in the land speeder so you wouldn't forget it.
Thanks, Aunt Beru. Well, I guess I'd better get going.
Take the Treadwell with you.
Treadwell? But that old droid's in worse shape than the evaporators, Uncle Owen. What about getting some new droids?
Oh, just what I need. Another expense.
But with another droid or two, we could keep the whole farm at peak efficiency right through the harvest. Look, I can check around Toshi Station and Anchorhead, and there'll probably be a Jawa Sandcrawler passing through any time now. Maybe they'd have something we could use.
Luke, give over your daydreaming and do your share, and we won't need any droids. I never let you want for anything, have I? Huh? Well, then, young fella, least you can do is show some gratitude.
Oh, Lars! Oh, and we could use a little more help. A droid that spoke domestic bocce could help me round the house, too, when you didn't need it.
Oh, well.
Luke, goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Emperor. I'll do my best with those evaporators, Uncle Owen.
Honestly, Owen, I don't know what gets into you at times. Luke's never asked us for a thing. He works as hard as any farmhand. He could have gone off on his own long ago, and you know that.
Beru, with his mind wandering half the time, he's never going to make his way in life.
But you can't begrudge him his dreams. A person has to have their dreams. I've never once complained about living out here or hardly ever seeing other people or going without when the moisture harvest was bad, have I?
Now, see here, Mrs. I never said to you...
Owen, even to the young people over at Anchorhead, Luke is an outsider. He hasn't had a close friend since Biggs went to the academy.
I don't want him coming to harm, Beru. I want what's best for him.
I know that, Owen. But it wouldn't hurt to tell him so.
Well, I'll be most of the day on those condensers in the upper basin. Won't be home till evening, I expect.
I'll have supper waiting, Owen.
Hey, Treadwell, come hold this junction plate in place while I torque it down, will you? That's it. That ought to do it. Now, let's give this old relic a try. Nothing. Boy, how does Uncle Owen expect me to keep these junk heaps running? Here, Treadwell, clamp these two leads together while I splice them. No, you idiot. Will you use your insulated arm? Release! Release! Back off! What I wouldn't give to be on another planet. Any planet. Uncle Owen's not going to like this a bit. Now I've got two major overhauls on my hands. Treadwell, get over to the land speeder. If we don't get those new droids now, we'll be in real trouble for the moisture harvest. Well, the sky is still clear anyway. At least there's no sandstorms blowing up. Maybe we can have things ready, but... Hey, what's that up there? What? I know you don't know, you maniac. Where are my macro binoculars? What? I know I left them in there someplace. Ah, here they are. Now, let's see. Yeah. There's two ships out there, all right. Two of them at least. And they're firing on each other. Well, it's incredible. Boy, they're really going at it out there. Come on, Treadwell. Get yourself over to the land speeder. I've got to get into Anchorhead and tell Fixer about this. Well, get it in gear, will ya? Okay, stay put then. I'll pick you up on the way home. Everybody.
Hey, Cammy, did I just hear a young noise blast in here?
Come on, Wendy's got a shot to make and there's money riding
on
it.
Yeah.
Come on, shape it up, you guys. Wait till you hear what
hey,
I just...
We got company, Luke.
What? Ha-
Biggs!
When did you get back from the Academy?
So the two shooting stars are reunited at last. I'm so thrilled to be here for
I just got in on the shuttle. I wanted to surprise you, Luke. You know, I thought you'd be here when I arrived. I forgot you have the harvest coming up.
Hey, but how come you're back so soon? Didn't you get your commission?
Sure. Hey, I got it. The Academy accelerated our courses. It seems the Empire wants the commercial space lines expanded as soon as possible.
You ought to drop the Emperor a thank you note, Biggs. That's the only way you could have gotten out of that Academy.
Yeah. Signed on with the starship Rand Ecliptic. Wow. Third mate Biggs Darklighter at your service. Hey, how's this for a snappy salute?
Well, I hope you fly a ship better than you salute.
Oh, Luke, what do you know? I think Biggs looks just fabulous in his uniform.
Yeah. Biggs just had to come back and say goodbye to all us planet-bound simpletons.
Hey, wait a minute. I almost forgot. Drop the game and come outside quick. You guys have got to see something. There's a battle going on beyond the atmosphere.
When are you
going
to stop seeing things and grow up, Skywalker? Uh-huh. Space battles. What a jerk.
Biggs, I didn't just imagine this one.
Well, if you say so, Luke. Hey, Deke, turn off that game.
Oh, it's 25.
We'll still be here when we get back.
Here we go again.
Captain Skywalker has sighted the enemy again, sir.
And is advancing to the rear.
Right. Let's see. Yep, they're still there. I counted two earlier. Here, Biggs, you take the macro. Okay. See for yourself.
We'll do.
What do you think, Biggs?
I'm afraid that...
That's no battle up there, Luke.
What?
Here, Kami. Yeah, it's probably just a tanker fueling a freighter.
No, it's the rebellion, right, Luke? All the way out here on the backside of nowhere.
But there was a lot of firing before. I swear there was. I saw it.
Well, then why would they still be holding position over Tatooine?
Oh, Luke, they're not doing a thing up there. Firing my foot. Here, take these things back.
Hey, Kami, be careful with those.
Don't worry about it, Luke.
These cost me a half-season savings.
She told you not to worry about it, Wormy.
Hey, Fixer, the show is over. Haven't you got work to do?
Come on, Kami.
What? Are you just gonna let him...
I said, come on. So long, guys.
Now, they're right about one thing, Luke. The rebellion against the Empire is a long way from here. You know, I doubt the Imperials would bother with this system.
But I could have sworn I saw...
Hey, come on, I tell you what. Let's take a spin in that land speeder of yours, huh? I'd like to take one last look at Beggar's Canyon, yeah, for old time's sake.
Sure, Biggs. Boy, you should have been there the other day when we ran the canyon.
Yeah?
The old Fixer started bragging about how he could do anything that Biggs could do, you know. So I said, hey, you're so smart, why don't you... Yeah, and Fixer just pretended it never happened. Of course, my Skyhoppers busted up pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sure that made your uncle happy.
Ooh, you have no idea. I'm grounded for the rest of the season.
Nah, you ought to take it a little easier, Luke. Nah. I mean, even if you are the hottest gully jumper this side of Mos Eisley, you keep it up, buddy, and one day, whammo, you'll be nothing but a dark smear on a canyon wall.
Hey, why'd you want me to come out to Beggar's Canyon anyway?
Like I said, old time's sake. I mean, who knows when I'll be back this way, right? Huh?
I guess. Well, there it is. The old stone needle. You know, you can see practically the whole canyon from this part of the rim.
Yeah. I don't know how I lived through all the crazy stunts we pulled down here.
Remember some of those? Boy, we had the hopper now. We could give those womp rats a surprise.
Oh, sorry. No, I am now valuable property. Keeping in mind the expense of cadet training, all graduates shall refrain from unnecessary risk-taking.
You? Do they happen to know how many stabilizer veins you've been up on the back stretch down there? Or how about the time you almost wiped out the stone needle?
I figured it was better not to mention those to my piloting instructors.
Boy, it hasn't been the same since you left, Biggs. It's been so quiet.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you were always number one around here, Biggs. You were the one who made things happen.
Well, it's a big galaxy, Luke. At the Academy, everybody was number one back where they came from. All of a sudden, I was just a face in the crowd.
Yeah, but you made it, Biggs. You're gonna see all those places we used to talk about.
Yep. Luke, did you ever wonder why we're friends?
Huh?
The rest of them, back at Anchorhead, they'll never leave Tatooine. Maybe never get as far as Mos Eisley. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, not exactly like that, I haven't.
Fixer's just smart enough to know he's better off being a big noise in a small room. Cammy's dumb enough to think she's made the prize catch hereabouts, and Windy's nothing but a follower, and Deke's the follower of a follower.
But what are you saying, Biggs?
You will make it off Tatooine, Luke, and they know it. That's why they won't accept you.
Huh. Well, they're not so bad. I don't really mind them.
Then how come you work so hard at being the hottest pilot around, huh?
Well,
hey, did you see that? Off on the far side of the canyon.
Where? Sand people.
You got your macros?
Yeah, right here.
Yep. Three Banthas and it looks like five Tusken Raiders.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're moving out towards the wastes.
Hey, I'm supposed to keep a watch out for them at the farm. My uncle said there'd been some sightings around here.
No.
I should get back.
Hey, I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Well, that's a little excitement for your visit.
You only think this planet's boring because you've never been anywhere else, Luke. Luke, I didn't come home just for a visit. If I don't come back, I wanted somebody to know.
What? Well, know what? Honestly, Biggs, will you stop being so secretive?
Luke, I made some friends at the Academy.
Yeah?
And one of them will be on the Rand Ecliptic with me. At our first port of call in the inner systems, we're going to jump ship and join the Rebel Alliance.
But that's crazy. You could wander around forever trying to find them. Look, the Empire can't even find
them. Well, if we don't find the Rebels, then we're going to do what we can on our own. I'm not hanging around to get drafted into the Imperial Starfleet. The Rebellion's spreading, Luke, and I want to be on the side I believe in.
Yeah, and I'm stuck here.
But I thought you were going to the Academy next trip.
I had to cancel my application. You know, the sand people acting up again.
Come on, Luke! Your uncle could hold off a whole Tusken raiding party with one blaster. One of these days, buddy, you've got to separate what seems important from what is.
But the farm's just about to start paying off. Look, Uncle Owen needs me for one more season. Biggs, I can't just run out on him and Aunt Beru now.
Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, first it's sand people, now it's the crop. Meanwhile, your application's been canceled, Luke. Canceled. Luke, listen to me. Your uncle uses that I fed you and brought you up line to keep you here. Can't you see that?
Biggs, my aunt and uncle are the only family I've got. They're all I've got. I don't care what you or anybody else thinks about me. I can't let anything happen to those
Luke,
two.
Luke, I didn't
I'll
mean
go
to.
I'll go on. Find your rebellion. You don't think I'd like to leave? You think I like staying behind?
No, I never thought that, Luke.
Well, that's how it sounded. Here, I'll let you off by the power station.
Thanks for the ride, Luke.
Yeah, sure.
Luke, I had a friend at the Academy. He helped me through the way I used to help you. Just before graduation, I heard he got picked up during a roundup of rebel suspects. And they said he died in interrogation.
You've changed, Biggs. You've changed a lot.
I have been doing some thinking, Luke. But you're the same as ever. Hey, tell me, are you still keeping a lookout for that dream girl you used to talk about?
Well, I don't know her if she passes by. Biggs, I'm sorry about what I said back there.
Yeah, me too. Hey, just let's forget it.
Will you be around long?
No, I'm leaving on the morning shuttle.
Looks like there's a wind kicking up.
Wind's rising all over the Empire, Luke. Even Tatooine will feel it sooner or later.
I guess we'll be seeing you for a while.
Oh, maybe someday. I'll be watching for you.
Listen, next season, I'm going to be going to the Academy for sure. No, I am. Take care of yourself.
So long, Luke.
The Biggs.
Yeah?
Do you really think those ships out there were just freighters?
Well, not if you say they were firing, Hotshot.
With an abruptness he will find difficult to believe, Luke Skywalker's life is about to change beyond his wildest dreams as he's swept up in the bitter war between Rebel Alliance and Empire. And soon, a captive princess's desperate plea for help, the final quest of a legendary hero, and the key to the Empire's most awesome weapon will be decided by the actions of a young farm boy from Tatooine. Star Wars, Episode 1 by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Cale Brown as Biggs, Anne Garrity as Aunt Beru, and Thomas Hill as Uncle Owen. The series was directed by John Madden, with sound mixing and post-production by Tom Vagley. Music by John Williams. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burt. Story editor for the series was Lindsay Smith. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. Executive producer was Richard Toscan. Executive producer for Lucasfilm was Carol Titelman. Star Wars was presented by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.